Welcome, everyone, and happy Friday, one and all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It is the last free ticket Friday of the baseball season. Boy, I don't know about you, because I'm a season ticket holder. I did the pre-sale today, got myself some playoff tickets for our Milwaukee Brewers. Very, very excited. Big win last night. Man, they're just within reach of 100 wins. Mm-hmm. And let's keep those Cubbies at bay. Let's win this division and hopefully bypass the wild card. Folks, it is last free ticket Friday. The word to win this hour, you've got all hour to text this word in via the app to get yourself qualified to win 4 club-level tickets to the Brewers versus the Cincinnati Reds on Friday, September 26th. They may very well be in the hunt for that 100th win and potentially the divisional championship. So, boy, you don't want to miss out on this. It's your last chance. It's an exciting season. What a time to go to a Brewers game, folks. They're at 94 wins with just a handful of games left. Here is the word to win this hour. Text this in via the app. You can get the app for free just by searching for Civic Media wherever you get your apps from. Go ahead and download that. Click on the app. Text this word in right now to get qualified to win those 7:10 September 26th, Friday, September 26th, the 7:10 p.m. game versus the Cincinnati Reds. The word to win is brew. Mm-hmm. B-R-E-W, as in I love the brew crew. Folks, good luck to you. Again, you have a chance to win all this hour for just this hour, so get those text messages rolling in. We've got a really special show for you today. I am joined, as I frequently am, by former U.S. Attorney James Santel. Welcome back to the show, Jim.
Maggie, it is always an honor to be with you, especially on, at times, and certainly a day like today, when, as you say, it's chock full of hugely important things. Great for you to bring this to your listeners and to everyone out there who needs to listen to all of this, right?
Yeah. Today is special because for the past week, in conjunction with Jacob, who helps me every day get the sound ready, my senior producer, Jamie, who helps Jacob get the sound ready, we have had a great review of all kinds of clips from what some of our elected leaders are saying right now in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination, but also what Mr. Kirk has said in the past, what our president has said in the past. All of this, of course, in light of Jimmy Kimmel's firing earlier this week. And Jim, I wanted you here with me today, and I wanted to take this entire hour to review some of the sound,
yes,
to review some of the claims that are being made by the GOP about hate speech, about what speech is okay and what's not. Who's saying what kind of speech? What is their platform? What is their reach? What is the impact of that speaker when they say certain things? Because not all speech is created equally, because not all speakers have the same reach.
Right. I often say, Maggie, right? The First Amendment, people say, I can say whatever I want, whenever I want, right? My right is inviolate, and that is wrong. That is simply not wrong. The First Amendment is not an unconditional right.
That's right. It constrains government,
yes,
censorship of individuals. So I want to start with trying, and there's basically three things I want to walk through this hour with you, Jim, and with all of you, our fine listeners. And if you have questions or comments for Jim and I, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Here are the three things that I want to get through this hour. What is hate speech? What is extremism? And is what the GOP, what the MAGA regime is calling hate speech today in the wake of Charlie Kirk's killing, what they're accusing liberals and Democrats of, is that actually hate speech? Do we have a shared understanding of what that is? Do we have a shared understanding of what actually extremism is? And what Isn't it important for us to have sort of a common shared understanding?
Right. Basic definition is what you're talking about, right? And that organizes,
correct,
all of this discussion, helps listeners, helps everybody understand the circumstances, again, the atmosphere in which all of this is being discussed.
Once we have that established, then we have to really understand what is censorship. Now, we outlined what the First Amendment prohibits, which is government censorship. What is the concept of censorship more broadly, what sort of responsibility does a speaker have for the impacts of their speech? We're going to talk about that a bit. And then we're going to take a little walk back in time, and we're going to compare the views of many on the right, many of the MAGA regime, about quote-unquote censorship, you know, a couple years ago, and what their view on censorship appears to be today. And woven into all of that, we're going to be talking about what is really going on here and why each and every one of us, whether you voted for Donald Trump or not, whether or not you're active in politics or not, why each and every one of us needs to be deeply concerned, not just about the tone of our rhetoric, but about the big picture. Who is actually controlling what we see and hear? Because that, my friends, if someone that we do not understand is controlling what we see and hear, what media says, the access to facts and news and reporting that we may be able to obtain, and we can't see that, we can't debate it, we can't call it out, then, dear friends, our democracy is indeed in peril. So let's jump right in. And I want to just say this at the outset. You cannot condemn hate speech and engage in hate speech yourself. And secondly, it is not, in my definition and what I'm offering to you all today, it is not hate speech to correctly call out government actors, behaviors, language by others, and actions that are contrary to our most fundamental democratic principles. That is not hate speech. That is factually talking about, again, the dangerousness of what political leaders are saying and doing. So with that, I wanted to start here because there's been much outcry about, again, what Jimmy Kimmel has said, maybe what, you know, some teacher and thus and such school district said, what maybe some government employee said on their Twitter account. But I want to talk about what the political leadership on both sides of the aisles has been saying. And so we know that there was a killing, a political assassination, not just last week, but a couple of months ago, where a Trump supporter shot and killed a liberal Democratic Minnesota legislator, her husband, and her dog. So let's take a moment and refresh our recollection of what the president had to say when asked on Air Force One if he was calling Governor Walz to offer support or condolences. Take a listen to this.
Have you called the governor yet or been able to speak to any of them?
I don't know. I called him. He appointed this guy to a position. I think the governor of Minnesota is so whacked out. I'm not calling. Why would I call him? I could call him and say, hi, how you doing? The guy doesn't have a clue. He's a mess. So, you know, I could be nice and call him, but why waste time?
So, very hard to hear, but what he said was basically, why would I call him? This guy doesn't have a clue. I could be nice and call him, but why bother? It's a waste of time.
People,
Mr. President,
or, right,
right. Go ahead, Jim.
Citizens,
please,
of the United States of America, also prominent citizens when it comes to government, have been assassinated, Mr. President, in their home. And your response is, why would I waste my time on that? I should call the governor. No, I don't want to call the governor.
Now, when Nancy Pelosi's husband, an 82-year-old man, was attacked by a Trump supporter in his home, hammered in the head with a skull fracture, this man was seeking to kill Mr. Pelosi and Nancy Pelosi. Here's what Donald Trump had to say then.
We'll stand up to crazy Nancy Pelosi, who ruined San Francisco. How's her husband doing, by the way? Anybody know? And she's against building a wall at our border, even though she has a wall around her
house. It goes
house.
On and on. It's disturbing. And just to recall, of course, Donald Trump Jr., also someone with an enormous platform, perhaps an heir apparent to the MAGA regime, that October posted on X that he had his Halloween costume all figured out with a pair of men's underwear and a hammer, giving voice to conspiracy theories about Mr. Pelosi and frankly making fun of the attack. That was the empathy, the sympathy. There was no call to tamp down rhetoric. There was no outrage from the right in light of these incidents. And we'll talk more about some of the other acts of violence targeting both historically disadvantaged groups and people and also Democrats as our discussion continues this afternoon.
And Maggie, if I can intercede, you know, the other part of this, again, huge issues related to speech that we're going to chat about. Let's talk about what a president is supposed to do. Let's talk about Article 2 that implicitly and explicitly says, yes, it is in these times of crisis when you say these things. I know people talk a lot these days about bringing the country together, and maybe that's an overused phrase. Express the concern of a legitimate leader who is confronting physical violence in your nation, Mr. President, and condemn that activity. There is nothing, there's no hate speech in that at all. Do that right thing and send the right message to everybody, not only because of what has happened, but also because it deters the future behavior as well. If you are the one out there condemning it, and we know in the wake of both of those incidents, we have had more.
So that was Donald Trump's response to the assassination by a Trump supporter of Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark in their home in Minnesota in June. That was our president's reaction to a politically motivated attack on Nancy Pelosi and her husband Paul. Remember, they were trying to kidnap Nancy Pelosi. You heard no outrage when the men that have been charged with the attempted assassination of Pennsylvania's Democratic Governor Josh Shapiro, when he received, I think it was like a Molotov cocktail, was thrown at his house.
His family is in the home at the time. The house is burning.
There was no outrage when a man was convicted of orchestrating a series of shootings at the homes of four Democratic elected officials in New Mexico in 2022. That guy was a Trump supporter. There was no outrage from Donald Trump when his supporters wanted to hang the vice president on January 6th. There was no outrage from the right when a Trump supporter killed the son of an Obama-appointed judge, Judge Esther Salas, in 2020. There was no outrage from the right or Donald Trump or Charlie Kirk himself when Trump supporters tried to kidnap Michigan's Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer. And let's not forget Heather Heyer, an activist that was killed by a Trump supporter in Charlottesville in 2017. When we come back, we talk about the language of fascism and the enemy from within.